Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And we had our Pastor Ed, Pastor Charlotte, and our Pastor KL all with us. And, oh, we had some interesting conversation yesterday. We started off talking about the employer and the employee who went to dig up, what do you call that thing, the sewer? Yeah, the septic tank, and unfortunately, the employee ended up underneath it. Yes, 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 employer, older man, 66 years old, shot the 50-year-old man, and never knew why he did what he did, but unfortunately, his daughter reported him missing, and that's how he was found, yes. Oh, we also talked about the two Pennsylvania police officers who used fake vaccination cards and lost their jobs, all because they did not want to wear a mask. Yes, you're not mandated, you know, to wear out in Pennsylvania the or had the vaccination card, you know, for any other reason than to simply wear a mask. Yes, and that was just too much. Well, we migrated into the conversation of, you know, how the pastors sometimes, you know, have a difficult time balancing the act of the parishioners over their family. Yes. You know, for decades and centuries, probably, this has been, you know, a complaint of the first family that mainly Papa, because women didn't start doing this more until now. But even now, you know, there's a complaint that, you know, the balancing act isn't done so well, and the church gets a lot more of our attention than, you know, than our own children and family. And, you know, so it was really an interesting conversation of how, you know, we have to ultimately learn to get that balance thing going on and get it done correctly. Yes, it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, when everyone needs your time, everyone needs your wisdom, everyone needs a piece of you, and you're kind of spreading yourself, try to make that happen for everybody. And, you know, we don't always get it right. We don't always get it right. But thanks be to God that the conversation took place yesterday. So not only did we get it now, excuse me, but those who were listening, hopefully, now get to understand exactly how to get it done. And hopefully we bless somebody and lent a hand in that area. Okay, so today is Wednesday. Yes, we made it. We made it safely through Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And now we are in Wednesday. Yes, what's known as hump day. And by the grace of God, we get it done big over here on Wednesdays to help you over that curve that goes upwards, because it's so hard to get through this third day of the work week. And we do this together. So, you know, we're loaded over here. We always start our morning off with our girl Vivian and our socially conscious segment. And we, leap over to the women of worship. We spend some time in Techie Talk land. And then we finish off with Faith Over Fear. Yes, with our Pastor Charlene Beard. So we, again, have a whole lot to do today, because it takes a whole lot to get through the middle of the week. Yes. So we're so happy to have you with us today, and we're looking forward to spending some time with you. And, you know, you've really been participating in our conversations lately. And, you know, I'm getting a little spoiled. Yeah, I am. I get spoiled like that real easily. And I don't know what Vivian is going to talk about this week, but it always ends up in a conversation. Yes. So go get that healthy breakfast. Go find your friend and text them, call them, let them know that it's due time is here on, and we are going to be discussing some things that they may not want to miss, and get a comfortable seat, because you're going to need it. Yes, you're going to need it, because you're going to be sitting for a minute, and you know, you always want to make sure you're comfortable. And you don't get all antsy, alrighty? So, come on, get comfortable, because we're going to be right back.
Thank you to all the unsung heroes who have given blood, saving countless lives. Your efforts to help have not gone unnoticed, but there is still work to be done, and many more lives need to be saved. As a nurse who formerly worked in a trauma center and an emergency room, I know firsthand the importance of an adequate blood supply to save lives. We want to highlight the importance of donating blood because, simply put, donating blood saves lives. In America, someone is in need of blood every 2 seconds. Yes, every 2 seconds. So please, spread the word and tell everyone about the importance of giving blood. Take an hour out of your day and donate. Donating just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives, and any time a life can be saved, it's a wonderful thing. So remember, 1 hour, 1 pint, 3 lives saved.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. It is Wow Wednesday. Yes, and God has so graciously ushered us into the middle of the week, and we're so grateful that he chose us, and we're going to have a good old time over here today. You know, I read somewhere a week or so ago that the blood banks are really low, and that's why I wanted to make sure to remind you. 1 hour, one pint saves three lives. You know, be a part of a life-changing thing. I've had to unexpectedly, you know, get some transfusions a few times, and I give God thanks that there were people out there who offered their blood for my usage. You know, where would I be without that blood? Where would I be without the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, you know? And, you know, it's not saving our lives the same way, but by all means, it's definitely saving lives, and especially with the blood banks being so low, we want to make sure that, you know, we are contributing to saving a life. So please make sure you do so. Take a friend with you. Take a friend. You know, make it a joint effort in touching lives, okay? All right, so where is our girl Vivian? So we can get some of this socially conscious news going on. Good morning, Vivian.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Viv. How are you today?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Well, good, good, good. What you got for us today?
All right, today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers, top five states and territories with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California is number one with 44,809 cases in the last 7 days. That is an increase of over 7,000 cases since California was in our top five back in September. Michigan is number two with 28,080 cases in the last 7 days. That is a decrease of over 1,000 cases since last week. Number three is Pennsylvania with 26,643 cases. That is a decrease of over 1,000 cases since last week. Texas is number four with 26,204 cases in the last 7 days. Another decrease of over 2,000 cases since last week. And number five is Ohio with 23,483 cases. That is another decrease of over 1,000 cases since last week. So as we can see, the decreases have, you know, they've been there, but the numbers are not as grand as they were in the previous week. And Texas has managed to drop from its consistent number one spot this week and is now number four. So I guess these are some good numbers. And for your health, safety, and convenience, we have some well-known brands that have some recalls going on, starting with Dole, that's D-O-L-E. Fresh Vegetables announces a precautionary limited recall of their Garden Classic salads for possible contamination with Listeria monocytogen. They have recalled their 24-ounce Dole Garden Classic salads, their 24-ounce Market Side Classic salad, and their 12-ounce Kroger brand garden salad, and also their 12-ounce salad, classic garden salad. And these are temporary recalls So it's not that, you know, we can't eat it ever, but just a short time recall with their Dole salad. We also have a recall on Green Giant. That's a well-known brand. They are recalling their white and yellow whole onions because of possible health risks. They're recalling their 2-pound, 3-pound, and 5-pound bags of white and yellow whole onions due to possible salmonella contamination. And lastly, UKRUP's whole style food, that's UKROP. They have a voluntary recall for their 6 green salads and chicken Caesar wrap. They're being recalled due to possible contamination of salmonella again, and I'll leave that list on the Coach for Christian Life Facebook page. Now we have some stories involving Halloween since it just passed. There were definitely some interesting news stories that hit the headlines this week, and I wanted to run through them because I found them very interesting, and maybe you will too. So we're starting off in Brooklyn. A resident was tricked by gun-wielding men in Halloween costumes. The victim said he heard a knock on the door, and when he approached the door, he heard individuals saying, "Trick or treat." And when he opened the door to treat them, he was met by some individuals in Halloween costumes. He said one of the men pulled out a gun and tried to force their way into the man's home. The woman who was with him, she ran away on foot. As he was struggling with the gun-wielding would-be robber, another man came to assist him. They punched him and tried to force their way into his house. Thankfully, the victim was able to get them out of his home, close and lock the door behind him. There have been no arrests made, and police are looking for any information that will help them catch these suspects. We make our way down to Texas. A woman was arrested for pointing a gun at a 7-year-old child for trick-or-treating on her property. Reports say that 35-year-old Monica Bradford from Texas pointed a gun at a 7-year-old on Halloween night. What they're saying is that Ms. Bradford had her front porch lights on, which made it look like her house was participating in trick-or-treat. They say as a father and his children approached her home, she came outside with a gun, pointed it at the children. She was taken into custody and has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and her bond is set at $10,000, which she has since posted and is expected to appear in court at a later date. And now we're down in Utah, where a sex offender was arrested after he greeted trick-or-treaters in the nude. 48-year-old Stephen Kelly Little from Utah is a registered sex offender. He is currently on probation for charges involving children in his past. Police say the victim are 3 children under the age of 14 and 5 children over the age of 14. All the children involved confirmed they were visually exposed to the suspect's genitalia. Reports say that the police were called, and when they arrived, a father presented a video showing Mr. Little opening the door for children while completely in the nude. And this just goes to show that parents need to do more research when it comes to these types of holidays. No one ever thinks about their neighbors when it comes to this stuff. You go into everybody's house and you're sending your kids up to their door, and you're not knowing that you have sex offenders in your neighborhood, and certain precautions definitely need to be taken. So the other day we spoke about the vaccine mandates and how lots of employees are being suspended and or fired because they refuse to get the vaccine. Well, I came across an article that spoke about technology and or robots being considered to fix labor shortages. So recently, Verizon surveyed hundreds of small businesses and found out that about a third of these businesses has adopted to digital tools, including in some cases actual robots. We already have in some restaurants a wheeled talking robot as a server, and restaurants that in these restaurants, and these robots are able to take your order, serve you your check, and bring you your food and or refills. We already have, as we know, the self-checkout lines and grocery stores. We have the machines and fast food places where you can order your food instead of going to the register. Now, we know that in a lot of cases, like police officers, firefighters, teachers, and other child care providers, robots and technology will just never do the job. But in other areas, this mandate may be opening up doors for us to see more technology and even robots take the place of human workers. And lastly, we have some news about Amazon. Reports say that the Federal Trade Commission has ordered Amazon to pay $60 million in illegally held tips to over 140,000 workers. Reports say that between the years of 2016 and 2019, Amazon illegally withheld tips from more than 140,000 drivers. It has now been ordered to pay back this money and says that most drivers will receive an estimated total of around $422, but one driver is expected to receive a single payment of more than $28,000. Back in February, Amazon formally agreed to settle the lawsuit and surrender all the money that they purposely withheld from its workers, and it only stopped when the company was reported to the Federal Trade Commission Board for investigation. These funds were mostly held from Amazon Flex deliverers who deliver goods and groceries ordered through programs such as Prime and Now Fresh. Someone definitely needs to come up with some type of competition for Amazon, because theirs is always in the news. They're trash. They withhold their wages from their delivery people. They don't pay their taxes. They mistreat their employees. They're always in the news for something negative. So somebody needs to come up with something, because they are just on the ball and not in a good way. And now for our wow story of the week. We know that thanks to the pandemic, there has been lots of things put in place to help people in need. We have grants and loans going out, free hotel rooms to quarantine if you don't have a place to do so in your home. Well, in Georgia, one man took advantage of these assistance programs when he used a COVID loan to buy a Pokemon card. Reports say that 31-year-old Vanis Adosman falsely obtained a COVID disaster relief loan by lying about his business. He lied about how many employees he had working for him. He lied about the amount of revenue he achieved back in July 2020, and $5,000 from the Small Business Administration. That's what he said he made. And instead of using the money for approved options like payroll and production costs, federal authorities claim he spent $57,789 to buy a Pokemon card. One Pokemon card, not Pokemon cards, but one Pokemon card. He spent $57,789 to purchase one Pokemon card. And it is not specified what card he bought and what he did with the rest of the money, but he is now facing charges. He's facing one count of wire fraud with a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison, as well as substantial fines followed by 2 to 3 years of probation. And I say that's what they get, because we have people out here who are still facing eviction because the government played around with the renters assistance money. We have people currently homeless and starving and can't get no help or decent help. And here this man is applying for a loan for his business and gets a $87,000 loan that he misuses. So look for that. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Oh, thank you, Vivian. Thank you. Oh, I want to talk about this Halloween thing. You know, you've got this gun-pointing 35-year-old woman at the 7-year-old kid. You know, it's like, why open your door? Why even bother to open up your door if you don't want to participate? You know, I mean, just or don't be home. Or don't stay home. You know, if this is going to be bothering kids, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think we had one person knock on the door. But I forgot, you got to put your light on if you're participating. But and I don't have a light on my porch. But I don't. For the past few years, I don't remember seeing or hearing anybody, you know, knocking on the door or anything like that. That is definitely slowed down. So I can't even imagine how this would be, you know, something that would be so disturbing to you, you know, that you would need to pull out a gun. You know, I don't know, Viv. Also, you made a statement in Utah about, you know, when the sex offenders are greeting the children at the door. My thing is, you know, you said, well, you know, they need to survey the neighbors, but stop trick-or-treating. Stop. Just stop trick-or-treating. Why are we even still doing that? Why are we still even doing that? Why are we still trick-or-treating?
I don't get it. I don't know. It seems like it slowed down a lot from when I was younger. I really don't see as much people out there. Most of the time I forget that it's even Halloween until I see the few little kids in their costumes. But I don't know. I'm with you.
Stop trick-or-treating. Just stop altogether. Buy your kids the candy or have a little party or whatever you're going to do. Why even... Just cut it out altogether. That just gets my vote. You know, I don't know. You know, you're talking about the man who answered the door and the people, you know, pushed their way in with the guns, and it's just time to stop, Vivian. When it has changed, these three stories alone. These three stories alone should now be encouraging people to just cut it out. Just don't even bother. Don't even bother. I don't know. And I also want to talk about with you really quickly. Let me tell you something. You see how they picked up and now the robots are replacing the people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that they're gonna be the new way of the world.
I mean, like I said, there's only so many places that you can put technology and robots. A lot of these places that are suffering because of these mandates, like the police department and the fire department, teachers, you can't have robots and, you know, technology in those places, but like fast food and restaurants and maybe some of these other businesses, it might be they're coming out with a lot of things that, you know, can, if not completely eliminate human workers, it can definitely decrease how many human workers you need on staff.
Absolutely. And you know, it's going to be kind of sad for, you know, our young people. Because that's where you kind
right.
of get your little punch, you know, to the workforce. You know, your working in retail or you're working in one of these fast food restaurants. And listen, this, you know, of course, you know, you can't replace, you know, put robots in, you know, the police department and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. I'm telling you, they're coming up with a whole lot of things. And don't be surprised if they do replace, even in these more important and urgent places, somewhere along the line, you know, no, nobody can defend us physically. But don't think that they're not going to find little spots to put robots.
I mean, they already have. You see these robots that they have going on that can perform certain surgeries and things like that. They're trying.
Yep. They're successful at it. And unfortunately, it's going to become the way of the world. They've been predicting this for a long time anyway. They've been predicting it for decades that, you know, robots would replace people. And now they have figured out a way to get it done. Take us off the premises and now replace us with artificial people. Woo. Thank you so much, Vince, for your socially conscious segment. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All righty. Thank you. All right, let's start talking to our ladies. Get these women of worship chatting and see what they've got to say. Good morning, Elder Nitisha. How are you today?
Good morning, beautiful. I am well. Glad to be on with my sisters and all of our listeners.
Oh, glad to hear you're doing well. Glad to have you on. Oh, so Vivian has got some conversation for us this morning. Well, which one you want to talk about?
I guess the Halloween. You know, I ran across, you know, some Christians, right, pretty much defending celebrating Halloween. You know, they likened it to the pagan beginnings and origins of Christmas and Easter, and said that if we've been able to kind of take the origin of Easter and reframe it to be the most holy holiday in the Christian faith, and if we've been able to take Christmas and reframe it and make it, you know, a celebratory holiday in the Christian faith, then why can't we reframe Halloween? and I think these stories, you know, lend to why. First of all, I question the research done behind this. But then also, I think these stories tell us why we cannot, as Christians, reframe Halloween. I think when we only look at it from one perspective, we only, you know, if you live in a community like my community, right, where it is really a communal celebratory thing, it is all about the kids having fun. The kids are all dressed in cute little Rapunzel and bumblebees, right? No one is scary. It has nothing to do with, you know, scariness and things of that nature. You can get sucked into the idea and the commercialism of Halloween and thinking it's cute and it's all about candy, but what we forget or what we won't emphasize is the fact that Satan worship is done on that day. It is considered the holy day for Satanism. We forget that ritualistic cult activities take place on this day. And so while we want to focus on there's just candy and the kids are just having fun. The kids, you know, this, it don't have to mean all of that for the children. The truth is, as Christians, we ought to be aware of all of the activities, even if we don't want to get into all of the nuances about origin, right? Because I think Halloween began in so many different places that when you start looking at the origin of it, right? You can pull out of it the Celtics, right? All Saints Day. You can pull all kind of stuff from it. But as Christians, I think we have a responsibility to continue to talk about the wickedness and the evil of that particular holiday and not get sucked into what the cute things we see in our community. And these stories, I think, remind us of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We were going to discuss it yesterday on Church Folk Day, but Pastor Ed wasn't on, and I didn't want to discuss it with Pastor Charlene and Pastor KL. And because he wasn't there, we didn't do it. But I am so sick of seeing on Facebook these pastors, Elder Nye T-shirt, who's pushing these. And I'm like, Christmas, Halloween. I'm like, yo, really? And it was a big conversation that I had last year. And I was like, you know what? I'm definitely bringing it to the table. And I welcome you, actually, to make some time on Tuesday to come and join us. Hopefully, Pastor Ed will be on, because you've made very good points. And I did my homework extra hard. I already knew, but when I really had some stuff. And, you know, I always laugh at Pastor Ed, who's a local historian. I don't care what you talk about. He's got some history going on.
I love
it. And I was like, no, I want to definitely have him in on this conversation. And you're absolutely right, because that's what I was thinking when Vivian was talking. I'm saying to myself, keep on going with the Halloween. People busting up in your house with a gun. People pointing the guns at the kids. You know, God has a way of allowing all of this stuff to turn around and remind us as to why we ain't got no business pushing any of this stuff. And that's why that was one of the things I did talk about with her this morning. And I'm saying to myself, that's why I said to her, just stop doing it. Just stop. I didn't open up the Christianity movement. And I was like, because I ain't starting it. I ain't starting it today. I'm holding that for next week, too. I definitely shared this thought with you. And I also share your preface, the reframing. But I'm going to stay away from that one. But looking at what Halloween, you know, has become, you know, when you even look at the parade. The parade ain't got nothing to do with the kids. Parade ain't got nothing to do with that parade that takes place. Has nothing to do with the kids. Has everything to do with the adults. And look at it. Mm-hmm. And look at it. So I that's right. All the stuff that's out on display now in that arena. It's something that we really need to pay attention to. So I definitely put a stamp on that one. Thank you so much this morning for joining us. And we're happy to have you. And let's see what Lady Tamika wants to talk about this morning. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good AM. It is Wednesday, and I am sitting on the middle of the hump.
Yes, trying to get over to the other side. How are you today?
Ooh. I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good, very good, very good. What do you want to talk about this morning?
Her news is always just, you know, it's definitely for wow. Just the foolishness, you know. Elder Natisha put her weight on it, and she's so right, you know. Here's the thing, you know, don't be deceived or enticed by the subtlety of, we're dressing up and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, because the enemy is still out there doing whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at this genius decides, oh, I'm going to wear a costume, I'm going to wear nothing at all and scare little children. You know, then you've got somebody else, you know, you don't wiggle it, and I'm just like, really, you know, the visual and then the other lady with the gun, you know, this is not funny. This is not, you know, suppose you had gone out there and the gun accidentally went off. It can happen. you know, and now you're, right. you know, you're responsible right. for somebody's life. This is not a game. This is not a joke. And people need to just stop, you know. And I, for one, you know, I haven't done it in, I don't know how many years. I mean, since adulthood, I probably, you know, and nobody knocks on my door. I haven't had a knock in years, you know, that I can recall, because they know, okay, that door, I don't need to go to. Yeah, you're right. Keep passing. Keep going by, because this is not the house to do it with.
Right. Ooh, baby. Let's talk quickly about this vaccination mandate that's making the shortage of employees, and now the robots are beginning to take over. You know, I went a few months ago, was the first time I actually went into McDonald's and saw the kiosk, how you can order your food. And I was like, okay, so people are becoming extinct here. They don't need us. I mean, we don't need them to take our order. We just, you know, go up when they call our number. And they're now having a ball with this here. And I tell you, we're going to start seeing this a whole lot more. It's almost like now that we've learned to work more at home, a lot of these high-rise rental places for businesses and things like that, I want to know what they're going to do with these buildings, because a lot of businesses have opted to keep their employees at home because it's cheaper. It's cheaper than rent. It's cheaper than a whole lot of other stuff. You ain't got to worry about somebody showing up late and all of this kind of stuff. So, Tamika, what's your thought on this replacement of the robots?
Well, the signs of it has been around for I don't know how long. You know, I remember, you know, back in the day when you needed something, you know, they would call you. You know, you pick up a number and they would call your number as, you know, it came up. Now, you know, DMV used to have this thing. You know, they still have it now where you don't have a person calling your number. You know, it actually has a system, you know, and so that was a long time ago. And we had been warned that it was happening, you know, but now there's all kinds of stuff like the kiosk. Certain areas have drones that drop your packages off, your mail and delivery, you know, and with the shortages, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, that you actually have a robot walk up to your door. You know, you got postmen running from dogs, but a robot's not going to run from a dog. And, you know, it's a very scary thing. It's like, you know, you want to work from home. You have a benefit of, you know, being at home, you know, working from home, but, you know, you don't realize how much damage it's causing. You know, there's so many things, you know, we often were told, probably as far back as high school, that we were going to be replaced by robots. And now we're definitely seeing it. It's becoming real evident. And robots don't have feelings, you know, and they don't have emotions, and they don't quit on you. And, you know, so, you know, it's something to really, really think about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and we're so happy to have you with us. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Kim. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone, on this beautiful, blessed, wow Wednesday. How is everybody?
Well, thank you. I'm well. Thank you. How are you over there in the state of Michigan?
I am good. I am good, good, good. Thankful and grateful.
Amen. Amen. We're talking about the shortage of, you know, people because of the mask mandate. They're leaving the job or either they're being suspended and we're being replaced by robots. What could robots do in the school to replace teachers, since you're in the school system?
Oh, wow. Well, probably in the lunchroom, they could probably have them to instead of having the servers, they could probably do the food. They could replace them with security, you know, as far as, you know, having the kids to come through to the doors or what have you. Oh my! They could probably even have the robot to teach the lesson. You know, that's just how crafty, you know, things are getting now, you know. I mean, it is really something how we can almost see a process of elimination in so many different ways in the world. You know, even like the banks, where you used to could go to the bank, you know, and talk to a bank teller. Now they have shut down so many of the banks here. You know, and it's like, okay, what's going to happen with our money? You know what I'm saying? It makes you wonder, you know, is everything going to be like through debit cards and things of that nature? You know, it even seems like, you know, where people are being eliminated to a point of you see so many people, so many deaths. You know, and it's like, you know, for me, you know, with me just losing my cousin that just passed, you know, all of a sudden she was in this nursing home doing fine. And then now she goes into the hospital for a UTI and then comes out not talking or eating anymore, you know. So we don't know what's really going on in the world. You know, is this all of this stuff a part of the world order? You know, every so many years they say that, you know, they have to eliminate so many people because of the world population. It just makes you wonder. It really does make you wonder what's going on in the shops and, you know, what's going on in the hospitals, what's going on, you know, when you got people shut down to where they really don't know and they don't have their loved ones to talk to. So how do you know what's happening in the nursing home facilities? How do you know what's going on in the hospital when you can't have anybody to come and visit you? How do you know what's going on really in the prison? You know, so it is just a day and time, you know, it's a time of uncertainty. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, if you're going to have a job. Guess what? In a minute, they're probably going to shut the school back down again, you know, because of the numbers going back up. Now they're talking about vaccinating the kids. And so, you know, I don't know if I'm for that, you know, for my grandkids. You know, it's enough with the adults.
Wow. You bring up a lot of important points. So, Elton Aitisha, what's your thoughts on the replacing of robots on your job? You know, what could they replace with robots? Who could they replace with robots?
I think they probably could replace the what we call NCIC, and that's the 1-800 number that people call into, and they're able to find resources and things of that nature. They really could potentially replace them with robots or with answering services, you know, that would direct people to the information that they're looking for or what it is that they need. I mean, I'll be honest with you, American Cancer Society had already reduced staff tremendously. We're really working with a skeletal staff currently. So they've already, you know, I think a lot of businesses took the opportunity that the pandemic provided to really, like, just change the way they do business and to cut wherever they were able to cut. So I think we're seeing this all over the place.
Okay. Ladies, last week, we had Vivian's wow story. I held you ladies off from talking about it, and I got a few more minutes before the top of the hour, and I wanted to bring it up. We kind of talked about it on Thursday, so Lady Tamika has already had an opportunity to talk about this, but, you know, I'm sure she's not short of a thought. But we had the woman who invited, you know what, where's Vivian? Let me try not to. Where's Vivian? Hold on. Vivian, get ready. I'm coming to you, girl. Get that story ready. let's say, because I want to tell a story, Vivian, but it's your story to tell about the blind date. You know, let's tell that blind date story all over again, please, and give our ladies an opportunity to weigh in on it.
Okay. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Vivian.
Okay, last week's wild story was a mother who was concerned that her 29-year-old son lacked a dating life set him up on a blind date, hoping they would click and settle down. So the man, who's known as Mr. Liu, agreed to go on this blind date and agreed to foot the bill. Sources say the man arrived at the restaurant waiting for his date to arrive and was surprised to see her walk in with 23 of her family members. When asked why she would bring 23 family members on a date meant for two, the woman responded that she wanted to test how generous her potential significant other was before committing to a serious relationship. The article does not go into great detail as to any discussion that was had when he saw her walk in with 23 other people, but apparently everyone sat down, ordered their food, ate, and when the check came, there was some discussion that her family should pay their share, and when they refused, Mr. Liu left the restaurant, leaving her and her family with a $3,100 bill. Now, I did the math, and I don't know if that included tip or not, but just the $31 alone divided by 24 people that were left at the restaurant, that is approximately $130 each.
Wow.
All righty, Vivian. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the hand with that story again. I want to start with you, Pastor Kim. You showing up? Let's take it from the woman's point of view. Let's take it from your point of view as a woman. Well, what's your thought in this case?
You know, that's why you just, you got to know who you're laboring amongst. You know, it's so sad that people that you think you know, you really don't. You know, people will leave you hanging. You know, people will leave you for dead. They will throw you under the bus. And, you know, it's just crazy. I would be so outdone. You know, especially if this was somebody that I thought that I knew or that was family, you know, it's terrible.
Let me ask you something. So it starts off with the mom who thought her son needed to date. Would you set your daughters up on a blind date?
No.
Why not?
I just, people are crazy out here, you know. in this day and time, especially now, you know, people are on something different. I mean, everything. This is a different dispensation and a different day and time that we are living in regards to everything, the whole thing. This is just another world that we're living in. You know, I wouldn't be out messing around with Halloween stuff. I wouldn't be out trying to hook my daughter up with no date, nothing. You know, I would be somewhere praying that we be covered in the blood. You know, I mean, no, absolutely not. No. You got serial killers and everything else out here. These folks is losing their minds. What? They're losing their natural mind. And you talking about hooking somebody up with a blind date? Absolutely not. Thank you, Pastor. Man, that's a good thing. Better find, let your man that got after you find you. No. We ain't going looking for nothing.
Very rarely do we see you get like this. This is funny. Elgin, Aisha, you got some girls on your end. You know, my mom thought she was finding somebody who she thought was date worthy of her son. And homegirl shows up with 23 people. Well, first of all, would you set your daughter up on a blind date?
Yeah, no. No, I don't believe in blind dates. Y'all know how I feel about, you know, what I believe God has commissioned me to as being a mom and protecting their purpose and legacy and so on and so forth. So, yeah, no, a blind date in this environment is not feasible. The first thing that came to mind is what Pastor Kim always says, child, we are living in the last and evil day. We cannot we cannot be setting our kids up on no blind date. And I mean, again, right, how, yikes. Okay, I don't know how many questions you're going to pull from out of this, but the audacity to have a mindset that says I'm going to show up on a date with 23 people. I promise you, mental illness is out here undiagnosed.
For real. Because you got to be part of the mental illness crew if you even showed up with them. See, you ain't that too tight for somebody to say, yo, you know, we rolling. Well, what we rolling up on? What we rolling up on? Girl, I got a blind date, and we gonna see just how much. I ain't going for that. I'm not going for that.
Yeah.
So it says that he left them, you know, paying the bill, you know, for themselves. And needless to say, justifiably so. But, you know, I, last week, like I said, I wanted you ladies to, you know, comment on, you know, what your thought was. You know, you're meeting Greg for the first time. Pastor Kim, you mean Elder Ty for the first time. And they busting up with 23 of they people. And Lady Tamika, you got Brother Al. Everybody showing up rapping. They're giving the rap. Isaac. The Isaac rap. Don't know what the Isaac rap. You know, like, what do you even think? What goes through your head? That's why I said, I'm bringing this conversation back. It's like, what goes through your head, Lady Tamika, when Brother Al shows up and they all walking in with the Isaac rap?
I can all see them all with Adidas and big gold chains. No. Well, you know, I want to think about it in the aspect of, you know, if I had a child, I agree with Pastor Kim. You know, it's just too crazy out here, you know, and you want to protect your babies. And just, you know, having their best interests at heart, you don't really know what an individual will be like when you see them, you know, when that date comes about. I remember, you know, a couple of times, you know, mom saying, oh, he's cute. Oh, why don't you try that? You know, and I remember, you know, trying to go upon one of the places or people that she suggested, one of the guys that she suggested that I meet and go out with. And I was like, Ma, you know, he's got issues. He's got this, that, and that. And she was like, oh, well, I never saw that. When I saw them, he seemed like a nice individual. I'm like, Ma, your radar is completely off. You know, it's nice that you think about me, but no, ma'am, you cannot pick for me. And then, you know, I mentioned previously the one date that I did go on, you know, he was a total basket case. You know, he just really was. You know, he was scared to talk. He wouldn't look at me. He's the whole entire time he's got his head down, and it was just really uncomfortable. And I was like, I'll never do this again. And when I explained to her how bad it was, she said, oh, I'm so sorry I put you through that. I said, thank you. I said, can I pick from my own from now on? And she agreed, and there was no problem. But I said, we're going to Buffalo Wild Wings, and everybody gets one wang. and we're done. That's it. So I'm buying 39 or 40 pieces of chicken, and I'll get my little doggy bag, and y'all can do what – I'll pay for that because it's only 39 pieces of chicken. Just everybody gets one little piece of chicken, and we're done. But, I mean, I think, honestly, if I came in and I saw the individual, you know, Al is coming in and he's got all those other relatives, as soon as they get in and they get themselves comfortable, I will excuse myself. So y'all are comfortable, great. Mm-hmm. Nice meeting you. Goodbye.
Yeah. You know, it's Elder Nitesha, imagine the pandemonium at the table for 23 people. You know, Shantice, we always talk about her and the servant. And that was her point last week. She was like, forget the people. I feel for the server. You know, but imagine even the server part, even if you put that on the outside, you know, imagine the pandemonium at the table for 23 people. You know, everybody, you're supposed to be on a blind date. You're supposed to be getting to know one person. How in the world does this take place when you are sitting at the table with 23 other people? How do you converse with anybody? Well, is there conversing? It's like pandemonium. What comes to your mind when you think of 23 people sitting at a table for the first time together?
You know, what I could envision is that not only was the young lady, you know, asking him questions, but everybody at the table, you know, asking him, firing off questions. And so now this poor young man is sitting there under immense pressure, right? He's frustrated. And then he's sitting there under pressure because you probably got Aunt Lou saying, yeah, so what's your intentions? Then you got, you know, Aunt Betsy over here saying, what school you went to? Then you got Uncle Ron talking about something. You smoke weed? Then you got, you know, you a Christian? Then you got, where you work at? Then you got, how much money you make? You a child. That poor guy was probably sitting there saying, this is unbelievable. And I know he was traumatized. I know that boy. He don't want to go on another date, not ever. He probably done took his whole profile off the website if it was like an online dating thing. So he done shut down. He told his mother, I'm closing up shop. I don't trust you no more.
absolutely.
Probably just traumatized and not want to do that ever again.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say, ask Pastor Kim. You know, Pastor Kim, you said no, absolutely not. I'm not offering up my girls to anybody. But can you imagine this mom who had good intentions? And, you know, she didn't handpick this chick, you know, to date her son. And then he comes home. So imagine your son coming home telling you, Mom, I went on this date. And not only did she show up, but 23 of her people showed up. What would you even say to yourself?
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about the fact of how my husband had this thing for the he had a little date night for the kids to come to take them. He invited each of his flag football team members to celebrate, you know, their end of the season, you know, little get together for them. Took them all to airtime, paid for them. Each child was able to come, and this one lady came, and not only did she come with her children, but she brought her sister's children too. And so me and my husband looking like, because he was nice enough to still pay for, like, the child and maybe their sibling, too, the parent brought them. But you brought your sister's two kids, too. And my husband was like, And I said, don't worry about it, babe. I got this. I got this. So I politely went over to her, and I was like, excuse me, did you pay for your niece and nephew, too? Because, you know, we covered your child and your daughter, but the other two, did you get those wristbands? Because we had a certain amount of people that we were paying for. You know, and she was, okay. You know, see, people, they will just take your kindness for weakness. People just doing
right.
what they want to do. That was disrespectful.
Right.
You, I mean, who does that?
Absolutely. No, she said, I got this.
Yeah, he's nice. You know,
I
you are nice.
Let me tell y'all. Brother Al always says that Pastor Charlamagne is a bully, and Pastor Kale always calls Pastor Charlamagne a thug. Let me tell y'all something about Pastor Kim. Pastor Kim is a girl from the hood, y'all. I'm telling y'all. That's Kim from the hood. I don't care how much he tell y'all that the world is coming to an end and this is in our last and evil day. Man, homegirl is from the hood. And she said, I got this. I love it. I love the
you know how the men be talking to me all night.
Of the due time crew. I love the realness of the due time crew. You can't get no more real than this set. You can't get no real than this set. And I just pictured her with her eyelashes and flipped up bang, going over there saying, excuse me. Go ahead.
That's right.
Closing it down for her husband. We ain't paying for this.
I was real nice. I was real nice. I promise I was. I was nice.
And we know you were. We know you were. You wouldn't be represented like that. You're all over Michigan, girl. You can't be holding it down like that. But no, I love it. I love it. Because like you said, you know, people, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And it's sad because it was rude. It was not only, you know, disrespectful, but it was rude. Like you said, you know, you knew that 15 kids were coming. How you bring 16 and 17
Right.
So, yeah. You know, people will do it to you all the time. Ladies, I love talking to you. Thank you so much for engaging me. And I want to say it's packing time. Let's say good morning to Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. How are you, ladies?
I just want you to know that, you know, don't come on the broadcast with any slick talk, because the ladies will deal with you. So just in case you didn't know. They might have Elder and Pastor and Lady before their name. But they won't set you straight, so make sure you walk a fine line. What you got for us over here today?
Oh, I trust that they will, man. I trust they will. Oh, my gosh. Well, today I'm going to briefly talk about this thing called Meta, or part of Facebook. Apparently, Facebook, the company Facebook, has Facebook, the social media site, and it also has Instagram, and it has WhatsApp, which is the app that's used for communicating, okay? Facebook, the social media site that we all kind of use every day to communicate and do things on, that name is not going to change. It's the company that owns these three applications, that name has changed to Meta, M-E-T-A. And Mark Zuckerberg, who's the owner of, you know, these three companies now, has decided to rebrand the main company by changing it from Facebook, the company name, to Meta. So in the years to come, there's also a thing that he's working on that a lot of companies are jumping on board. It's called Metaverse. Now, Metaverse is going to be like a 3D type thing where it's going to be kind of like I don't know if you ever heard of this game called Sims, where you create your character and you can walk around and build your house and sell your furniture and communicate with people all around the world. Well, it's going to be kind of like something like that, like a high-end type thing where you can actually buy a house and you can sell and buy NFTs and a whole bunch of other things that you could do in this metaverse universe kind of deal. Next week, Wednesday, I will break down what is NFTs and what that is and what that whole entire thing is. But it's a very wonderful place for those who create artwork or create music and things like that, that you can actually digitize your collections of artwork and sell them on the open market and actually get paid for it. Okay? So that's what I have for you today.
Thank you. Thank you. We pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank you so much, ladies. Take care now. God bless.
You too.
God bless.
All right.
God bless.
All right. Ladies. So last week we started our conversation with, you know, your vision, your smaller vision that leads to your large vision, the vision that God gave you. And we talked about you have to have a vision for helping others. We talked about you have to have a vision for future, being future focused. And now, you know, we have to continue, because I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, the big vision is takes place by putting a whole bunch of pixels together, like a picture. And we need to put all these pictures together to make and give the greater vision. And one of the things I saw that I really want to talk about is having a vision for lost souls. I really want to talk about that today. Elder Natisha, we're going to start with you.
I think that's the commission, right? That's the part of, you know, what we are called into upon our receiving of Jesus Christ, that we would be built up in our most holy faith, and that we would then begin to look outward to see who we can share this amazing message, this love gospel with. And so we, you know, a part of who we are, a part of being indwelled with the Spirit of God, I think pretty much awakens that awareness that people need to know this. And in doing so, in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we are winning souls for the kingdom. That in spreading this message, we're planting seeds that give people, you know, an opportunity to receive God, and then allows God an opportunity to water the seeds that we've planted. So I think it's very much a part of who we are, that this message is to be spread to all of the world, and that we are God's hands and feet to make that happen.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, you know, regardless of what your larger vision is, you definitely need a vision for the lost souls.
Definitely, you know, if we're fervently reading our Bible, you'll see plenty of times where the reading of Scripture tells you to go, which means that it doesn't mean that you just worry about you and your household, your spouse, your children. It means to go outside, you know, and I'll even use, you know, Matthew 28:19, which says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know, and I'm just using the top half of that, you know, part A, because that is our responsibility. You know, it's not just for you and your household, and the things and the experiences that we have gone through is for the greater good of those that we come in contact with. And so if I can lift a sister or a brother by the experiences that I have gone through, then what a ministry have I? Not for myself, but for the upbuilding of the kingdom. And I mean, you listen to the broadcast on a daily basis. If you're listening in, you can tell we've had experiences. None of us are perfect, but we're living this life so that we can minister to those who haven't yet come to that point. So that when you get to that point, we can say, sweetie, don't do it that way. This is the way to do it, and this is the way to come out, and this is the way to be on top, and this is the way to remain God's child in the midst of it all.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Kim, we need a vision for lost souls. How do we not get that done?
Amen, we do. We have to, the Bible says, he that winneth souls must be wise.
you know, and we do. We have to use wisdom, you know, and we have to pray that God will allow for us to be the bait that could go out there to be fishermen of men, because we are in a such a time of and a dispensation of deception and a stiff-necked generation of people that are just so comfortable in their sin and being where they are in this world, you know, that it's like they don't want to turn from their wicked ways. People have become so complacent and comfortable, even the more now that the church doors are closed. So it is for those of us that know the power of prayer and fasting, those of us that that have a love and a passion for people and God's people, we have to ask God, Lord, show me what to do and how to do it. Give me a vision. Let me write the vision down and make it plain of how I can go out and be kingdom-minded and kingdom builder for you, you know, to where people will have a desire to see me and see you and want to be and desire to be saved. And even like for myself, it's like in this day and time that we are in now, it's like because I'm not really in the church, but I have been doing funerals back to back to back to back, and people are like, oh my God, how do you do it? But I know that God has given me the opportunity to be able to talk to the living at these funerals so that they will have an opportunity to get saved. It's a grand opportunity because it's not about the dead, it's about the living. So this is my vision in this season in my life. I just buried my cousin, and now here I am before I can even get out of my clergy clothes. Somebody was calling me, asking me to do another funeral this Friday. Another lady, 54 years old, gone. You know, so people are leaving here, but I feel like that God is allowing me to have an opportunity to let people know that life is nothing but a vapor, and you have got to get right or you're going to get left. And so I thank God that, you know, this is my vision for this season, to be able to have people to confess Christ according to Romans 10 and 9 to be saved.
Amen, amen, amen. Lady Tamika, you know, you gotta have the vision of the judgment seat of Christ. Ooh. What's your thought? We lost her, so we gotta wait to get her back. Pastor Kim, I know you just got finished, but give us the you know, you're in your groove. Give us your vision, you know, or the fact that we have to have a vision for the judgment seat of Christ, please.
Absolutely. We have to understand and we have to think the way that God thinks. We have to speak God's word, you know, because we have to understand that we are all going to be judged accordingly, you know, according to what we have done. We're all going to have to be holding account for what we have done while we were on this earth. All of us have had an opportunity. Nobody, before God comes back, nobody is going to have to say, well, nobody told me about God. God is going to make, because God is just that merciful, that he's going to make sure that everybody had a chance to get their house in order, to be able to receive him, you know, and we have to understand that, yes, we're going to be judged, and we have to understand that God's judgment is, you know, God is a God of grace and mercy, and so we have to let people know that, listen here, this is not something that I'm saying. I'm telling you what the word of God is saying. You know, the Bible says that you have to confess with your mouth and receive in your heart that Jesus died so that you can be saved. The Bible says that he who has not the Spirit of God is none of mine. So we have to let people know that these are God's words, and those are the same words that we have to continue to speak.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Lady Tamika, we're talking about having the vision of the judgment seat of Christ.
We're coming to a day and time where, you know, God is not playing, you know. He never had a joke, you know, not to that degree. But, you know, you have to understand, you're accountable for the things that you do, you say, and trust and believe, you know, that thing that you think is being done in the dark, it's not. God sees it, you know, God knows it. And, you know, just like this, you know, we're talking about the Halloween acts, you know, those things are being credited to every person, you know, and the things that we do, whether we label ourselves Christians or not, we are accountable, and we need to be very, very careful what we do, what we say, and even what we think.
Amen. Amen. Elden Aitisha, judgment mm-hmm. seat of Christ, vision has to be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I'll say this. I think oftentimes when we start talking about judgment seat, immediately the believer, you know, starts right, pointing toward the unbeliever. But I think it's important. It's important to make note that there are the scriptures that talk about the judgment seat of Christ are talking about believers. Right? It's not talking about the unbeliever. It's talking about the believer and how we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of how victorious we were over our flesh. We're going to have to give an account how well we responded to the Great Commission. We're going to have to give an account of how well we led in the areas that God has given us rule over. And so, you know, I want to really emphasize that point to the believer who's listening to us, who's thinking, yeah, tell them sinners that they're going to have to stand before God. Well, the truth is, sweetie, we all are going to have to stand before God, and we're going to all have to give an account, right? Because the Bible goes on to talk to the believer and talk about how we're going to receive crowns for how faithfully we serve. And so we have to have that vision. And I think as we're working in the field, as we are working in our communities, as we are building churches, as we are mentoring, as we are lending our hands to whatever it is we do, if you are serving on the usher committee, if you are serving in the kitchen of the church, if you are serving in any capacity, if you are behind the camera, know that God is watching you and he sees your faithfulness. And when you stand before God, that judgment seat, he's going to be able to look at some of those ways that you have served as well. And when it talks about, you know, we sing these songs often, but we don't give much thought to them, that I shall wear a crown. Well, that crown comes based upon how well you served in your confession. And then for the unbeliever, yeah, their sins, they're going to have to answer for the time that they were given the opportunity to receive Christ and they chose another way. They chose to reject the grace of God. They chose to reject the remedy, because Jesus is the remedy for sin. They chose to reject the remedy that was offered to them. And so there is no excuse for that. We will all have to answer.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to split you up. I'm going to split you up. I want to give Lady Tamika. You know what? Let me do this. Pastor Kim, we just got finished talking about having that vision of the judgment seat of Christ. But I need us to stick a pin in having that vision of hell directly. I want to merge that. I don't want to merge that with the judgment seat of Christ. That needs to have its own moment. That mm-hmm. vision of hell. To make it real for some people, because Elder Nitesha said something that was real interesting, and she said that, you know, when you start talking about the judgment seat, you know, the Christian people start looking around going, you know, tell them unbelievers, tell them sinners. But there's something that God speaks for the people who say that they're Christians too.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why the Bible says, judge not, that you be not judged. And that's why cannot be pointing fingers, because you got to get the beam out of your own eye. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have made some mistakes, and if we're not careful, we still are going to make some. So we have to, you know, have to continue to walk in compassion and walk in love and understand that none of us are sin-proof, you know. If we could be honest, we might have made a mistake last night or this morning for that nature, you know, and we want same grace and mercy that we want God to extend to us. We want him to extend that same grace to somebody else that might have fallen, you know, for somebody else that might have come short, for somebody else that might have, you know, not have crossed every T and dotted every I. So we just have to continue to have, because God said he'll have mercy upon who he has mercy on, you know. So we just sit up there and say, oh, they going to hell. They not going to make it in. You don't know. I don't know nobody that came back that told me they made it in or didn't make it in. So guess what? You know, we got to know that the way, you know, what's that scripture about broad is the way and narrow, you know, and about narrow, the camel, you know. So we got to be so. Yes, yes, yes. We got to be so ever careful and just work out your own salvation. Save yourself. You know, just do what you know to do to get it right. You know, make sure that you are doing and you are preparing yourself to wear that crown, you know, and be able to tell the story of how you, oh, my Shonda, how you made it over, you know, because, you know, we're all of us are sinners saved by grace. You know, and if it had not have been for grace and mercy that came and found us, guess what? You know, we would still be out there in the world, too. So we just have to continue to have compassion and love and walk in that agape love, you know, because they said they would know us the love that we have one for another. It's not about how many scriptures you know. It ain't how many tongues you can speak in. It's about the love that you have down on the inside of you.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Pastor Kim. Lady Tamika, I want you to give us the fact that we have the vision. We need to have that vision of God and Jesus before us.
I want to utilize...
Wait. You know what? Hold that.
Sure.
Excuse me. I need to go backwards. Please forgive me. Elder Natisha, give us that vision of heaven. I have to pass to Kim. I need you to do that.
Yeah. No problem. I think it's important to also, in addition to everything that Pastor Kim said, remind the folks that the truth is that hell was not created for the children of God. It wasn't created for us, for humanity. It really wasn't. It was created for Satan and his angels, according to Matthew, in Matthew 25 and 41. And so, with that in mind, how we live our lives and our rejection of Jesus is what lands us in hell. And so I just want to make that premise, that it was not created for us. It is not a place that we should be focused on. It is not a place that we should be you know, thinking about. Everything about Jesus is what we ought to be focusing on, and Jesus is life. This word says he came that we may have life and have life abundantly. But it's when you reject it. It's your rejection of Jesus. It's your refusal to accept him. It's your denial. It is the fact that God over and over repeatedly gives opportunity for you to get it right. He gives opportunity for you to accept his grace, his mercy, and his love. Ah, my God. And it is your refusal of that that puts you in that place. But I want you to know that hell was not created for you. Jesus takes no delight in sending his children to hell, in sending his creation to hell. Your very being, the fact that you were brought into the earth. You know how many babies don't make it here? How many miscarriages? And you didn't have to be here. You didn't
have to be here.
But the fact that you are here means that it is God's desire and will for your life that you would make it home with him. Hell was not created for you. But in your choosing to deny him, it's how you land yourself there.
Amen.
Ah, the have mercy.
Amen. Amen. Now, Lady Tamika, now we want to present the fact that you need to have a vision of God and Jesus before us.
Yeah.
I want to utilize, since we're talking about the judgment seat, I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, which says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We have to recognize that every little thing that we say or do, it's not just one of those things that just, you know, oh, well, I felt such and such, so I have to say such and such. You are accountable to God for the things that you think, the things that you say, and the things that you do. And yes, nobody is perfect, none but God. However, you need to get that thing under subjection. And so, and you have to get it under God, because those things don't just disappear. Not only that, it's evident in the seeds that you've planted. You said something about somebody to their face, and it caused them to no longer have a desire or a zeal for life. You are accountable for the things that you do, and trust and believe that day is coming closer and closer, and you need to get yourself in order, because we are accountable to God.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, you have done a fantastic job, especially your closing. Definitely leaving our listeners with something, and one another with something to think about. Thank you so much. And I pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
You too. Love
Amen.
You
God
all.
Bless us. You too. Love y'all.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you too. Ah, now we've come to the top of the hour, where we have our Faith Over Fear segment with the Charlene Beard. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm okay, thank you.
All righty. Well, you've heard all of the visions that we need to have in order to carry out God's ultimate vision in our life. And I want to touch on something today in your Faith Over Fear segment. And we need to have a vision that the enemy is here solely to destroy us. And our faith over fear needs to be with the goal of defeating the enemy. How do we get that done, Pastor Charlene?
Amen. First of all, far as the enemy is, he's out here to kill, steal, and destroy. He walks up and down to see whom he can use. And if there's any opening of a part of you that you allow him to come in, and we're talking about the believers first. The unbelievers don't know Christ. It's our job. Let me start with them. The unbelievers don't know, those that don't know Christ. Amen. We are the ones that are supposed to be out here and being the Bible that they see, and where that they want to be able to know who is this Jesus that we are talking about. And they might only see you because they're not going to just pick up the Bible until we go through something. And that's how most of us got there. We was going through something for us to be able to run to to Jesus and being able to say, I want to know who you're talking about. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm going through this in my life. Things is upside down. And that's how we first came in, most of us. Amen. Or you was just born into, that's what they did in your household. Some people weren't like that. So we're talking about the people that don't know Christ. But us that do know Christ, you know, he wants us to be able to pick up this Bible and read it all the time. Amen. Being able to stay in his face, being able to call on him. Once you came over and you decided that you want to be able to be in his house, be in his family, amen, that where that you want to be able for us to go on and know more about him, have the relationship with him. When you don't be able to, you can't be with some people at some of the time in the body of Christ, and then you on the other side are trying to sneak and still want to go to the club and thinking that it's okay. No, it's not okay. No, you got to be able to know whose side are you going to lean on. You got to pick on this day which master that you're going to choose, who you want to be able to be with. He gives us a choice, and that's one thing about Jesus. I love him about him so much is that he gives us free will, and in our free will, we get to choose whose side you want to play on. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend your eternal life at? So it's your choice for you to be able to say, you know, I made a conscious decision that I do not want to be able to go on to, as Elder was saying, to go to hell. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to choose that direction. We shouldn't be even thinking about it. We should be always looking at, Lord, I made a mistake here. Repentance. A lot of people think that if they just repent in the morning or repent before they go to bed and that's it, they don't think about, repent of that thought that you had. Repent of something that you might have said. Be able to turn around and allow God to use you and be able to help somebody else because of they are fallen. Give your testimony. See, we keep so much of it to ourselves like it's a secret. He don't want our life to be a secret. He wants us to be able to go out there and tell somebody, this is how I was struggling. This is what made me come to Christ. This is what keeps me with him. This is what makes me keep my hand in his hand. And we want to be able to know that we know who's high that we're standing on. Ask him. The word of God tells us to search ourselves. So you got to search you and see where that you have fallen at, where you need some help at, where you need to be able to ask God to help you in this area. Amen. For us to be able to stay away from things that you know that you don't need to be with. You got to be able to know that I can't watch certain TV channels. I can't watch certain movies because spirits are real. And when you allow them spirits to come in, the enemy is going to use you. The enemy thinks that, oh, really? Have you ever had an encounter where that you did something and he starts laughing and you hear him laughing in your ear? He said, I told you I'll get you. Oh, yeah, those are real too, because I am a witness to that. And it made me turn around and say, oh, my God, Lord, I'm sorry. Make you fall on your knees. Make you be able to know who is. So we got to be able to know that we know where our weakness are, because there's some things that God don't have to do. He leaves it up to us. There's some things that you can clear out your way. There's some things that you know that you're doing that you should not be doing and what you're putting in your body. So we cover all areas. Don't just think because of that you're able to take care of some. Check yourself all the time. Make sure that you are living for Christ and only for him. Make sure that what you are saying out of your mouth hooks up to the word of God. Make sure that when you are a representative of Christ, because we are his ambassadors. So when we come out, we got to be able to know who we are out here. Lord, show me who needs a word today. Show me how can I help somebody. Show me, God, direct my path, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need you to be able to see what am I missing, God? You know, and that's a part of your searching. What am I missing? Is it something that I did not say? Is it something that I did not do, God, that in my community that I should be doing, or where I'm able to do in my family? Because those are the ones that we are first and foremost are ministering to. We were talking about our children the other day, and I told my daughter, I said, listen, you know, I was talking about y'all on the radio. She was like, oh, my God, here we go again. I said, yes, I always tell y'all because of the fact that when you are able to talk about where you come from and how you're able, how God has changed you, you know, that's your testimony. And I said, and I need y'all to be able to understand that, you know, it's not to talk about, you know, our past, more so of, oh, my God, that's what we did, but look at us now, yes, but I want God to be able to be pleased with everything that I say and being pleased of what y'all are doing and to show how far we have come. So it's the same thing with the church people. We got to be able to show more of Christ, and that's where we're falling at, y'all. We're falling in the mix of allowing the enemy to come in. We are looking at what is going on with the church of today, where there are people are not standing for Christ. They're saying one thing out of their mouth, but your actions, oh my God, is not even hooked up with what you are saying. Because it also says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts. And it says, I'm trying to think of the scripture, is Jeremiah 17 and 10. And it says, and search all hearts, and examine your secret, oh my God, desires. And then it also talks about how that he will give us the, he will give us, oh my God, I'm trying to think of it. I can't even, anyway, as I go on, I'm going to come back to it. And it talks about how he, because I'm a paraphraser. There you go. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm a paraphraser. And he talks about how he will give you the dues of your rewards, of how your actions are deserved. Amen. So even in that, it shows that we're that, what we, he's, because to a lot of people, we were talking about how people say, oh, he know my heart. You know, when I get myself together, I'll come into the church. But we got to know that we know that in our hearts, he does know what your heart is. And we got to get to the place, amen, where that our heart is hooked up to his heart and what he wants for us, and stop trying to be in knowing the secret of your motives, aware that you are not really, it's what's coming out your mouth, but not really in my heart, that I have the heart for the people, but I'm acting like I am. So we got to be able to understand and of that fearful piece, oh yeah, because he knows. That fearful, we got to get it together, because if not, you should be fearful of where you are going and knowing that you are not going in the right direction. But your faith will be able to overcome, because if you have trust in the word and you have trust in God and you have trust in knowing that I'm able and I am doing correct, then I know that I will see Christ and yes, and will get my crown. And yes, know that God is with me. Are we perfect people? Absolutely not. That's why every day that we have to be able to say, Lord, show me where I'm making my mistake. Show me where I'm lacking. Show me, oh God. And the closer that you get to him, the closer relationship that you have with him, the more that he will reveal and the more that he will show you what is needed and where that you're able to go out there and minister to the unknown, and even minister to your brothers and sisters, those that are fallen by the wayside. Receive him and let him be able to clean you out. Say, Lord, I lift my hands. I'm asking for forgiveness. And, Lord, people don't know my secret. And, Lord, I need your help. And I'm talking to the Christians, because some of us think that we got it together. And we don't. Every day, it's a new journey. Every day, there's a new issue that's about to come upon. And there's more work for us to do. Ask him. Have the faith and know that you step out on him. Have the confidence that you know that you are able to do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. And Lord, I thank you for the journey that we're about to go on. Because nowadays, it don't look like it's getting no better. But it's for us to step up, for us it gets better, because we know that he is coming closer and he's on his way. And that day will come when we're able to be with our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. And we pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you. Oh, what a morning. What a morning. We give God thanks for all of the ministry that has taken place today. And before we go, well, let me give our benediction. And we're going to go back to number 622. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. You know, we each morning, you know, we're on and we have our, you know, we have our ministry in the front, and we have a ministry that goes on in the back. We have our ministry that goes on technologically, and, you know, we could not function if that back end wasn't done. And we give God thanks because on Sunday nights, we have our ministry, our prayer ministry, and it is me on the front end, and we have the StreamYard that's being worked on the back end. And we could not get that done without our sister Nika. She really has always been the backbone for me. You know, I go to her for quite a bit, and she never tells me no. She always tries to go above and beyond and do what she needs to do as far as what I ask, and then some. And could not do without her. She's been with me since the beginning of this ministry that God has given me with the church. And I just cannot imagine what life would be like if I did not have her with me. And today is her birthday. And I would definitely be remiss if I did not make sure that we had a tribute for her birthday. So, you know, Lady Tamika is our go-to individual for our birthday salutes in these past few months. And I asked her to prepare something. So, Lady Tamika, the mic is yours.
Ooh, la, 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 la. Words cannot state how much we appreciate you, because you've been there working with due time. We're grateful. Ooh, happy birthday, Anita. Surprise you when I sing something unexpected. What a lovely thing. Hope you're smiling. Ooh, happy birthday, Anita. May this day be overfilled with joy to last through tomorrow.
goodness. Thank you so very much, Lady Tamika. Boy, when I tell you, you just surprise us each time. Thank you so much. What a beautiful rendition of Smokey. We pray you have a blessed day. Thank you. You know, she has not been feeling well, and she did not deny me the request. And, you know, that's the type of people that God has sent that, you know, they just can't tell me no. Thank you so much. And the salute to Anika, who never tells me no matter what I ask. You know, we talked about vision today and last week, and, you know, it's amazing because she's one who, you know, I'm not good with carrying out my vision. I see these things in my head, and I'm like, okay, Anika, this is what I see. And she has a knack for carrying out exactly what I describe. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, who does that? And she underestimates her gifts, and, you know, I love to encourage her, you know, when she really gets to a point where, you know, she's a little hesitant, because she's worthy of that, and she doesn't understand how blessed she is or how blessed we are to actually have her. And, you know, again, there's no way in the world, even for those of you who have never met her, you know, I'm telling you, she's in the back holding it together. Trust me. There is something, you know, I do Bible studies, and if it weren't for Anika scanning and emailing, and, you know, I had to tell her the other day that it was, you know, it was driving us crazy as we were turning it. It was turning, and immediately she was, I got you. She sent it. You cannot function without an Anika. Trust me when I tell you, life is just not, you just can't do it without an Anika. And I give God thanks publicly for all of her hard work, for all that she does, for It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, for all that she does for the Seventh-day Sabbath Church of God, Jamaica, Queens, for all that she does for the Word Ministry, the AFCCA ministry, what she does for my life and my family. I just can go on. And again, that musical tribute was absolutely beautiful as always. And, you know, what are we going to do when it's Tamika's birthday again? We can't match what she's done for everybody else. But again, you know, we're narrowing down to the end of the year, and we have saluted, you know, by the grace of God, you know, everybody this year. We have not missed a birthday. Pastor Ed was the only one who was never on to get his birthday tribute, so we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get his. But, you know, God has definitely blessed us here on His Due Time to be able to do these kind of things. You know, what broadcast are you on that gets a customized birthday tribute? I don't care, you know, Steve Harvey and Dale Hughley and what's the other one with the glasses? Ricky Smiley and, you know, the morning crew, you know, they all have their shows, but nothing beats It's Due Time with Pastor Steph and the Due Time crew. You do not get, you know, the Due Time crew, the women of worship, the men of warfare. You don't get the techie talk. You don't get the birthday tributes that, I mean, even for the listeners who are dedicated, you know, there's no one that, you know, blesses us that we don't bless, that God enables us to bless. And I just cannot say thank you enough for all of my Due Time crew who just keeps me going. I tell you, I sit and think about how blessed I am and how all of you just rally together to make it happen. And again, I want to say happy birthday, Anika. I pray that God continues to bless your life, that you can do the things that you do, and he gives you all of the desires of your heart because you surely deserve it. And, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to experience all of the people around me, all of the ministries that I'm surrounded with. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. Imagine sitting in the middle of all of these ministries that feed you, and everybody has their own way of delivering things. You know, I give the same thing to each person, and sometimes we were at the height of six people, you know, in our circle, and each person gives something different. And you walk away with something different. How blessed are we to experience that? How blessed? How blessed is it that you can turn this on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? You get it live 5 days a week. No one ever ceases to get up and put their best foot out there. Even when we're not feeling well, even when you're not feeling your best, but God enables us to be able to turn it on. You know, every morning when you hear, you know, everybody say their good morning, their signature good morning, it doesn't mean they're doing well. It doesn't mean that they're doing well at all. But by the grace of God, everybody continues to just pour themselves out before everyone. And we don't always get it right. Sometimes we goof. Sometimes, you know, we go overboard. Sometimes we, you know, just don't nail it. But it's there. It's there. And God is exceptionally great to each and every one of us. You know, we talked about vision today. And, you know, we talked about all the different ministries that God has me involved in. And, you know, everybody, again, it's all those pixels of vision, all of those different pieces of food, those different, you know, areas that everyone just kind of puts together that make it happen. That's what makes it happen. And we have to make sure that we stay on top of our game. That's a job. We have to make sure we stay on top of our game, because as everyone has said today, all you need is that slip. Because it's such a slippery slope that once you slip, if you don't pick yourself up and get to moving, and I know all my good time crew can attest to this. If you don't pick yourself up, if you don't allow God to do the part that he has to do, and he leaves you a part to do, and if you don't get up and do your part, oh, that slippery slope will be real messy. And if you allow yourself to go too far low, you will not have it easy coming up. And some people don't get back up. So make sure that's not you. Make sure that you hold on to God's unchanging hand and you make it happen each and every moment of the day. Keep that fight going. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, for the thing is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us and giving everything that you have to us each and every day. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Whew. Until tomorrow, with Therapeutic Thursday, I love you.